This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
That would have never done.
I feel like you created this thing, and you're not going to get the credit for it. People are going to credit Cam Newton, but Cam Newton's just copying college kids that did it, like you first. Deshaun Watson, originator of the dab. On the football field. You didn't create the dab otherwise.
Nah, yeah. I did not.
Deshaun Watson versus Cam Newton. November. We are going to have Deshaun Watson versus Cam Newton. Could I interest you in a statistic, John Lopez?
You know that you can.
Gil Brandt, who, my gosh, you want to talk about an encyclopedia of information. He put this out on Twitter. The Patriots are the first team in NFL history to lose an MVP QB and replace him with another MVP quarterback. It's the third time a team has lost an MVP and added another in the same offseason. The only other two teams that have had this happen were the 2005 Arizona Cardinals, who lost Emmitt Smith and added Kurt Warner, and the 2000 Miami Dolphins, who lost Dan Marino and added Thurman Thomas. As far as a MVP quarterback passing the torch to another, this is the first time in NFL history. That's the historic implication of this. But what about the immediate implication of this in regards to the landscape of the AFC? Because we know what the Patriots have been in this conference and in this league for damn near two decades. Tom Brady's now in Tampa Bay. Cam Newton's now a New England Patriot. Where do you put the Patriots on the pecking order in the AFC in comparison to the Texans? Because we actually talked about some people last week who, before this even happened, had the Patriots ahead of the Texans, which we both thought might be a little bit of a reach. But what about now that they've added Cam Newton coming off the injuries and Cam Newton trying to fit him into their offense, and maybe they're going to use the running backs more and they're going to use that good defense. Where would you stack them up against the Texans over 70 days away from the start of the season?
Before yesterday, I didn't even know if the Patriots were going to have a winning record. I had confidence in Bill Belichick and in his defense. I mean, we talked about it. I thought they would be right there around 8-8, you know, catch a couple of breaks, Belichick works some magic, then they could maybe be a playoff team. I would rate them above the Texans right now.
Don't know about you got the text line going nuts right now.
It's fine. I mean, we're nothing if not honest on this show. But let me finish qualifying it. Presuming that Cam Newton is the starter and healthy, I don't have a lot of confidence in Jarrett Stidham. It's going to be his first go at it, et cetera. So if Cam can't prove that he's Cam, if he's anything close to what he was in the past, they're a better team than the Texans. They have a better head coach, they have a better defense, and they will have a quarterback who's in the same neighborhood as Deshaun Watson. I don't know how anyone could argue that, Landry.
I mean, I just don't know how he fits in. It's really going to be about how Josh McDaniels fits Cam Newton into this system. Because, you know, you hear Clint talk about it all the time, square peg, round hole. Clint Sterner, who follows us at 2 o'clock. If they're going to try to make, and let's be honest, I don't even think this is a realistic if. They're not going to ask Cam Newton to do what they did with Tom Brady. And my thing is, last year, if you watch this New England offense, it was a disaster. Like, Tom Brady was skipping throws. They clearly had issues with the way stuff were going. This team recently, the Patriots, if you go back to even when they won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, they were transitioning into more of a running team. I mean, they were running a lot more two back stuff. They were running the most two back stuff in the league. They still used the fullback. They had Sony Michel. James White was leading the team in receptions. If you really look at their personnel, if you are using Cam Newton like he's been used, and I think to expect him to be an MVP would be unrealistic. But if you're using him like he's used when he's healthy, with the zone reads, the throwing the ball to the backs, all that type of stuff, it almost might fit their personnel better than what Tom Brady was last season. They're just specifically what Tom Brady was last season. If you're just yucking it up with Cam Newton and running the rock more, it might actually fit what they need to do or what they're trying to do more with Cam than it did with Tom Brady last year. Just last year.
I think it fits more. For sure, I think it fits more with Bill Belichick's personality. Remember last week, I brought up the comparison of Bill Belichick and Pat Riley, that Pat Riley was showtime and up and down the floor and let's really light up the scoreboard, because that personnel could only do that with Magic and Kareem and Worthy and, you know, B. Scott and all this other stuff. But then his true colors came out when he went to New York and Miami, because his true colors were, let's play some defense, let's be smart, let's be controlled on offense, let's not take any risk. That's what Pat Riley really was. I think we're going to see the real Bill Belichick now. I really do. And that's going to be run the ball, defense, you know, don't make mistakes, do your job, as we always hear him say, and then Cam makes the smart plays when he needs to make the smart plays. And that's why I go back to, you know, I didn't really know with Jarrett Stidham, you know, what he could do. Nobody did. But I know what the Patriots can do with a healthy or healthier Cam Newton. And I'm still waiting for anybody to tell me, you know, what is the factual or even, you know, strong opinion or I should say, you know, widely acknowledged opinion where the Patriots would not be a better team than the Texans with Cam Newton healthy, because they definitely have a better defense. They can run the ball better. They definitely have a better head coach. And now they have a former MVP who if he's healthy, is going to be in the same neighborhood as Deshaun Watson. There is no argument for the Patriots not being a better team than the Texans if Cam is healthy.
Landry Locker, the OG, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. The OG says if Cam Newton's healthy, the Patriots are better than the Texans. I also think that when it comes to intangibles, I think the Patriots have a lot going for them right now. I think when the greatest people at their craft, the guys who have reached the peak of performance in their profession, when they get doubted, a lot of times they put their best work together. And people have been doubting Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots since Tom Brady decided to go to Tampa Bay. Buffalo is the hot pick to win the division. So you have the GOAT being doubted in Bill Belichick. Cam Newton, he's being doubted as well. And this is a former MVP who was a quarter away from winning a Super Bowl. And I think the doubt has been valid, but I almost think the doubt has gotten so extreme that even if Cam Newton is not what he was when he was the MVP, and it's unrealistic to expect that, the fact that people are really shaping their lips and using their thumbs to say that they don't think that Cam Newton could beat out Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer, to me is laughable. That to me is laughable. I understand if you don't think he's going to be the player he once was, but if you're telling me that Cam Newton, if healthy, is not going to beat out Jarrett Stidham, to me that's taking it a little bit too far. And I just wonder if guys like Cam Newton, who've always wanted that chip on his shoulder going back to his days at Auburn, I just wonder if guys like Cam Newton, with all this outside noise and everything going on, and guys like Bill Belichick, if that noise it's almost like a PED to them, and it causes them to increase their level of play and rally around each other with even more of a chip on their shoulder.
Look, I go back to, you know, to what we're talking about in terms of what proven commodities are, whether it's New England or the Texans. I don't see how you can argue anything. Somebody on the text board said that the Patriots receivers are not as in the same category as Texans receivers. No, they're better. I mean, I don't know. It's not what I want. I mean, I'm asking the question. I don't see how anybody can see the Patriots with a much healthier Cam Newton as not the better team. How? Where's the argument?
And I just, you know, you can minimize Edelman if you're trying to stretch the field. And I know the Patriots have been trying to bring in somebody who can stretch the field. But if Cam Newton's arm strength is already shot, and he's always been a guy who's liked to throw those intermediate passes, if you're throwing the rock to James White, the best receiving running back in the league, you got Sony Michel, and you have Julian Edelman working that slot, that just kind of plays up to what Cam Newton's got. And they also added Mohamed Sanu last year.
I was just going to say, yeah.
And I mean, let's just be honest. Like, we're not switching Bill O'Brien and Bill Belichick and saying, Bill Belichick, you can pick between the Patriots personnel and the Texans personnel. You're talking about Bill freaking Belichick. Like, you're talking about Bill freaking Belichick is what you're talking about. And the difference in coaching, the ability to get the most of what you got. To me, that's a scary thing because Cam Newton is, don't take this the wrong way, it's a high maintenance talent in that if you just throw him out there and say, do what Tom Brady did, you're setting him up for failure. But if you do have the right coaching staff and you have the guys who can put Cam Newton in position to do what he does best, which is better than most people with his skill set have ever done it, then that's a scary thing. I think it's the right situation. It's the right setup for Cam Newton and the Patriots. I think that the Texans and Patriots, I think it's a coin toss. If you ask me right now which team is better, I think it's a coin toss right now. You're leaning more towards the Patriots side, but I think it's a coin toss because I think the Patriots are going to yuck it up, and I think Cam Newton's going to allow them to do that, and he's going to be motivated to do so. I can't wait to see the Patriots come here in November. I'll tell you what, it's always exciting when New England's here. But it's going to be even more exciting with Cam Newton on the other side. Rest assured, the Texans' schedule got more exciting yesterday.
Well, you're 100% right. That's what I was going to say. We might not really ever know the answer to this because maybe Cam Newton is shot. You know, maybe there's just nothing there. He's going to look like, you know, one of these old, you know, 1960s players limping around Radio Row, you know. But if he is healthy and he's close to what he was in the past, I mean, I looked at this. Look how much more interesting the schedule gets with just Cam Newton on it. Because the quarterbacks alone, you know, Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers, and now you got Cam Newton. Man, the schedule, the complexion of the schedule, not to mention Phillip Rivers, obviously, the complexion of the schedule just gets, it changes drastically with just that one dude being added to it.
There was once upon a time when the OG John Lopez, who just said he's putting the Patriots over the Texans if Cam Newton is healthy, would react to stories like this with Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith used to have a show called Highly Touted, I believe it was called, right? What was it called?
Quite frankly. Yeah, I was on there about 4 or 5 times. It was fun.
You were on there, and you would throw out takes like the Texans are worse than the Patriots after the Cam Newton signing. But what about Stephen A. Smith? Let's just reunite Stephen A. Smith and John Lopez. I want John Lopez to say his take. I want you to reset your take, and right after that, we'll get Stephen A. So go ahead and just say what you said about the Texans and the Patriots. And in the spirit of going back in time and remembering the good old days, we're going to let Stephen A. Smith follow up your take. Reset it, J-Lo.
I don't understand how any clear-thinking person, unbiased person, can look at the Patriots getting Cam Newton and think that they're not a better team than the Houston Texans. It's not what anybody down here wants. But they have a better defense, the Patriots. The Patriots have a better run game, better head coach. You can argue better receiving core. And now they have a former MVP quarterback where, if he's anything close to his former health, is going to clearly make them better than the Texans.
Okay, Cam, I see you. I see you. Oh, my goodness. Can New England win the Super Bowl again? I don't know, Patrick Mahomes. I don't know, Deshaun Watson. I don't know, Lamar Jackson. I don't know. I don't know. But I love it.
Two OGs, two opinions. One very excited, one very confident in the Patriots if Cam is healthy. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Zeke can't even quarantine and stay out of trouble. And Jadeveon Clowney, he wants to play football close to Houston, but it's not where we initially thought. We'll lay it out for you next.
I'm a lover, man.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
John Lopez says the New England Patriots with a healthy Cam Newton better than the Houston Texans. That text line is going nuts, John Lopez. We're getting lists of the roster, basically top to bottom, the Texans. How can you say the Patriots have better weapons? Listing the Texans receivers and then the Pats receivers. A lot of people question the OG, John. A lot of people question the OG.
I don't care. I mean, you know, again, it's okay to say you're wrong. It's okay to say, You know, it's okay to say, you know, what about when they beat him last year? Yeah, 1-20 or whatever the number is.
Was Hopkins playing?
But exactly. Give me like some substance here. You know, let me just ask the question for anybody who's questioning my point there. And it's not like I'm hopeful for it. I mean, we all know better than that and how we feel about the Texans. But let's just answer for the naysayer there, for the people who say there's no way they could be better with a healthy Cam Newton. Is Bill Belichick a better coach than Bill O'Brien?
Let me think about that and get back to you.
Do the Patriots have a better running game than the Texans?
Let me think. Yes, they do. Sony Michel and James White, yes.
Do the Patriots have a better defense than the Texans?
Not even close.
Do the Patriots have a better receiving core proven than the Texans?
It's close. I mean, I would say the Texans, I would give the Texans the edge at the receiving core. But, I mean, the Patriots do have Mohamed Sanu, Julian Edelman, and James White adds a whole nother element out of the backfield. And you know, the other thing is
who they use correctly.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Like, you can tell me that David Johnson and Duke Johnson can do stuff out of the backfield. Duke Johnson had a career low last year in receptions. So I don't know that I can say with 100% certainty that they do have the better weapons, but I would give the Texans the slight edge at the receiving core. And there's also health as well with those.
But there's nowhere, or is there? Is there anywhere where the Texans, oh boy, they got it all over the Texans, all over the Patriots. Quarterback, right? But what I'm saying is, and somebody said, well, you're assuming that Cam is healthy, but not assuming Duke Johnson and these other guys are going to be healthy. I haven't assumed a damn thing. I keep saying if. If Cam Newton is anything close. I'm not even saying the exact same health that he was in the past when he was an MVP. I'm saying if he's anything close to what he was in the past health-wise, does Deshaun Watson really have that big an advantage at quarterback?
This is the other thing, and I think this is a mistake we make when we compare teams. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you, talking about the Patriots versus the Texans heading into the 2020 season following the acquisition of Cam Newton. 713-572-4610, if you want to get in. The offense isn't going against the offense. And if you look at our reservations, I don't want to speak for you, John, but I speak to you every damn day, so I feel like I have somewhat of a grasp. Like, the Texans could have a good offense. Like, it wouldn't shock us if the Texans had a good offense and Deshaun Watson took that next step. That's awesome. But the offenses aren't going head-to-head against each other. The Texans' offense will be facing a New England defense that was number one in the league last year, okay? And the New England offense will be going against a Texans defense that was dead last, 32nd. Yeah. In the NFL last year on third down defense and in red zone defense. And, oh, by the way, the only thing that defense did good last year was stop the run because of DJ Reader in large part, who's now gone.
Right.
So it's not like, yes, you could go ahead and sell me, and I can understand if you're higher on the Texans offense than you are the New England offense, but the reason the Patriots last year, the reason the Patriots looked like they were headed towards – having a bye before they lost the final year of the season was not because of the offense. It was because of their defense. And they still have the best defensive mind of all time calling that defense. And they still have some key pieces returning on that defense. As good as you feel about the Texans offense, and there's a lot of question marks about the New England offense, but as good as you feel about the Texans offense, outside of that offensive line, there's a bunch of question marks. Can Will Fuller stay healthy? What is David Johnson even at this point. Can Deshaun Watson get on the right. same page with Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks, who, by the way, have injury concerns themselves? So when we lay this out, yes, you can sit there and you can go tit for tat on the Texans offense versus the Patriots offense, but I think you've got to take the defenses into account. And part of my skepticism about the Texans taking the next step isn't because I think this offense is going to be terrible, although you are replacing one of the best players in franchise history and Deshaun Watson's favorite target. It's because they've ignored the defense, and there are so many question marks about that defense to the point where even if New England isn't on par, they might be able to move the ball just as easily as the Texans right. against the Patriots because the Texans' defense has so many concerns.
You got to stop them, right? You got to stop all these teams. I mean, and that, you could argue that's the concern with the Texans, no matter what you think about, you know, the Patriots versus the Texans with a healthier Cam Newton. You still got to stop the Chiefs. You got to stop the Ravens. The Steelers ain't no picnic. The Vikings ain't no picnic. I mean, that's your first four games right there. You still got to stop Aaron Rodgers. And now, in the mix of all that, and you still got some Titans and Jaguars and Browns mixed in there that are going to be, you know, can be problematic. And in the middle of that, now you're adding Cam Newton to the Patriots. And if Cam Newton is healthy, this is the most controversial, least controversial thing I've ever said. It really is. It's the most controversial, least controversial thing I've ever said. In any other city in the NFL, it would just like slide right through. Like, hey, happy Monday. Hey, the Patriots with a healthy Cam Newton are better than the Texans. It's but because, you know, all of a sudden we, you know, this team is so near and dear to us, it's like, wait, what? No, this is not a controversial opinion, man.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Now, we don't know, speaking of the Texans defense, we do not know where Jadeveon Clowney is going to end up in 2020. We've started to assume that it's going to be the Tennessee Titans or the Cleveland Browns, but it looks like Clowney might actually want to play closer to Houston than we actually originally anticipated. This was Tony Pauline and Andy Herman on the NFL Draft Insiders podcast talking about the former Houston Texan number 90. Let me hear that voice one time, Figgy. It just
I'm a lover, man.
I love you too, JD.
Love you guys, man. Y'all have a good day, man. Enjoy yourself.
You too, man. Thank you so much. I'm going to win the day now because of you. Here was Tony Pauline talking about Jadeveon Clowney. And where he might, according to his sources, according to people in Clowney's camp, want to play football in 2020. This is extremely interesting, J-Lo.
Where does Clowney want to play? What's his preference, and where would he like to end up?
Team that immediately comes to mind is the Tennessee Titans. But I was told the two teams on top of Clowney's list as far as where he would like to end up are the Dallas Cowboys and the New Orleans Saints. And he would definitely help both of those teams. I don't know that they want him. I know that Clowney wouldn't mind ending up with either the Cowboys or the Saints, from what I'm told.
Well, of course not. I mean, you know, any team that's a contender in the South, I think Clowney's going to be open to that. These are the types of things that I always do kind of traipse lightly, so to speak. Because I still think the Titans are right there. The Titans are publicly involved and interested in Jadeveon Clowney. So they wouldn't be doing that if they weren't. Sometimes, you know, agents play one team against the other trying to get the most money. But all three of those teams make sense to me. I don't think the Titans are out of it by any stretch.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts to see where Clowney ends up. But Cam Newton's already a New England Patriot. And John Lopez says if he's healthy – put that team ahead of the Houston Texans heading into 2020. Clowney watch continues. Speaking of watch, Zeke Elliott at the club, trouble. Zeke Elliott in quarantine, trouble. The hits are lit next.
Coronavirus! Coronavirus!
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day, presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
73 days till Texans versus Chiefs, 31 days till the NBA resumes, and Astros less than a month away. Astros and Rockets beginning training this very week. We've talked and told stories about how you keep athletes out of trouble. A lot of times when you keep them at home instead of out and about, instead of at the club, you can keep even the most troublesome athletes out of trouble, John Lopez. We talked about Dexter Manley when he was a Washington Redskin, the third ward legend. Joe Gibbs got him a job deputy. As a deputy, and it didn't necessarily 100% keep him out of trouble, but it minimized the damage. When we heard that Zeke Elliott, the running back for the Dallas Cowboys, arguably one of the biggest knuckleheads in the NFL, got the Rona, I'm sure there's some people with the Cowboys who said, you know what? This is going to keep Zeke out of trouble. This is going to keep him out of the headlines. He's going to get healthy. He's feeling good right now. Rather him be at home, chilling, relaxing, getting ready for training camp, than going out and about, hitting the club, doing whatever he does when he hits the club. That's what they thought.
Right.
But Zeke Elliott apparently is getting lit at home while he is quarantining. And the only reason we know that is because Zeke did a live stream and he forgot to turn it off.
Oh, bro, I'm low-key faded, bro.
Are you?
Oh, no, I didn't even end my stream yet.
Oh, that kills me, man. Because it's so perfect. And you can tell he is in that zone where you're like, okay, I'm on the brink of, like, maybe even hallucinating. I mean, he was...
Making plays, bro.
Bro, you got a pizza?
He was faded, bro.
Bro, we got to get a pizza, bro.
He was faded.
We got to get a pizza, bro.
Oh, bro, I'm low-key faded, bro.
I'm making plays, bro.
Oh, dang. No, I didn't even end my stream yet.
Dang. That is him and Bradley. Him and Bradley Roby sound the exact same there from Bradley Roby's interview with Snoop Dogg. Play that one more time side by side, Fig. Two Ohio State guys, by the way.
Oh, bro, I'm low-key faded, bro.
I'm making plays, bro.
Oh, no, I didn't even end my stream yet.
Oh, man. See, I didn't take that into account. I'm sure a lot, you know, when you're thinking, okay, so he's got the coronavirus. He's probably, you know, who knows how bad he's feeling. I mean, people have varying degrees of how they feel. So, but at minimum, he's just going to be just chilling at home, right? We didn't take into account that he would self-medicate like that.
Well, you probably should have. What else are you going to do at home? The gummy game is strong right now around these parts. The gummy game is getting stronger and stronger. As we speak, that's what I've been told, is that the gummy game's just going nuts right now. People are just chilling at home responsibly and watching TV or doing whatever they can at home, and that's what Zeke does. Next time you just got to press off there, and you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Stay out of the headlines, Zeke. Stay out of the headlines.
He was like, oh, crap.
Oh, damn, man. I'm so high. I forgot, dude. I forgot. Here is Roby and Snoop going back and forth. This is just Houston Texans cornerback Bradley Roby and Snoop Dogg going back and forth in the spirit of Zeke Elliott being low cut, faded, bro.
I'm making plays, bro.
Is it study or is it or was it or was it just right place, right time?
I don't know. I think it's just I make plays, bro.
hey, ain't no other way to put it. Simple and plain. I make plays. One thing about me, I make plays too. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, like, I do the studying and all that stuff, but I don't know. It's not my whole life. I just always make plays. So.
You spontaneous and instinct.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't get the feeling he really commits to the studying part.
Well, let's be honest.
Yeah, I do all that stuff.
There are certain people that even if it's activities that you don't particularly partake in, if they whip it out when you're with them, you have to do it. Like, if you're with Snoop Dogg, even if you don't smoke, if Snoop Dogg whips out a bleezy, you have to say yes.
Yeah.
Figgy doesn't even smoke.
Snoop Dogg
whips it out, you're in, right?
No, I don't smoke.
You're in it, right?
Yeah. I'm in it, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you guys know I don't smoke, but I would.
Who's the
Willie Nelson? Come on.
Willie Nelson, yeah. Who's the beer guy? Like, if someone asks you to have a beer, if you don't drink. Gronk. Okay. I feel like Gronk might have transitioned to seltzer by now. I know it's a very, like, meat-headed thing where some people are like, well, are you drinking the seltzer? I feel like people are transitioning to seltzer.
Hey,
I could see Gronk transitioning.
Speaking of low-key, Tom Brady. That dude can drink beer, man.
I've heard
the stories from Ted. No one in that locker room could chug a beer faster than Tom Brady.
There's videos of it.
Yeah.
Tom Brady. What about if someone whipped out the white? Is there anything there?
Kelsey?
Kelce ain't whipping out no white. It has to be like
the
face of it,
right?
No,
I was talking about beer. I was talking about beer.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
But yeah. The
what if you were at an Aggie gathering and Johnny Manziel asked you to go to the restroom with him? What would you do?
No, I wouldn't do that, man.
I'll turn up on your bitch ass.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. By the way, in case you didn't know, Johnny Manziel officially said football is behind him.
Why is that ahead? I mean, was that even a question? Like, did anybody read? Yeah, I guess he said to the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, Johnny Manziel said, yeah, I'm done with football. Did anyone hear that and go, oh, my gosh, Johnny Manziel's career is over?
I was really counting on seeing him this year.
Are you serious? Johnny Manziel's playing career is over. Wow. That's shocking. A lot of headlines in the NFL. That's not one of them.
Breaking news.
I was like, wait, what? He's done? Dang it.
Oh, my. I thought he was going to be at a camp. You know what? I thought the Patriots were deciding between Johnny Manziel and Cam Newton when it came to.
Well, maybe that's why he said it. Maybe it wasn't a coincidence.
Maybe he was holding on hope that it was going to be him.
Yeah, he was plan B.
Maybe that was it. Speaking of Cam Newton, Cam Newton signs with the New England Patriots yesterday, has the internet going nuts. You know who reacted? O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson went to Twitter,
hey, Twitter world,
and reacted to the Cam Newton signing with the New England Patriots. Here's the former commentator, Hall of Fame running back / double murderer O.J. Simpson, weighing in on Cam Newton going to the Pats.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Jeez. Well, with all the negative stuff that's going on in the world today, it's nice to be able to talk a little football. And the big subject this week is Cam Newton going to New England. Who would have thought it? I actually kind of predicted that a few months back, even though I thought Teddy Bridgewater would have been a better choice. But Cam Newton is a true superstar. And if he's healthy, oh, my God, that'd be just as impactful as Brady going to Tampa. A couple of my friends were saying they didn't think that Cam was a Belichick type of guy. And I said, what does that mean, Belichick type of guy? Belichick like players. Over the years, he's brought in Haynesworth, he brought in Corey Dillon, he brought in Ocho Cinco Blunt. Last year, he brought in Antonio Brown. So as far as Belichick is concerned, as long as you can follow the Patriots' rules and produce on the field, that's a Belichick type of guy. I don't see them seeing eye to eye and Cam's sartorial choices, and I doubt they'll be going to the same haberdasher, but hey, Cam Newton is a superstar, and a healthy Cam Newton is going to be big in New England. I'm just saying. Take care.
Dude, he needs an analyst job. He really does.
He actually knows his stuff. Yeah,
well, I mean, he was great at it before.
Yeah.
What is he great at? They're not going to hit the club together? Is that what he said? What is he talking about?
No, the haberdasher. Okay, here's quiz time.
What is a haberdasher? Don't Google. I have no idea.
Okay, I'm going to ask both you and Figgy.
Figgy's Googling.
You can get some context clues from that now. What is a haberdasher? I was wondering if you had already Googled. If not, I was going to ask you. So since you haven't,
I have
what
no
do
idea.
You think it is?
I have no idea.
Figgy?
Is it like liquor or something? Or drinking?
That's what it seems like. That's the other part of the context clue. A haberdashery is where you get clothes, men's clothing. I've never heard that word in a day in my life. In England, in the United Kingdom, they call them haberdasheries. And he's right. I mean, OJ's right. I don't think their wardrobes are going to be very similar.
Where is Jadeveon Clowney going to go as we play the hits here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610? Cam Newton going to New England. In case you were wondering, Johnny Football's career is done. Where is Jadeveon Clowney going to resume his career? NFL Draft Insiders podcast discussed that very thing. And we've talked about the Tennessee Titans, Cleveland Browns. Don't sleep on two teams in the NFC.
Where does Clowney want to play? What's his preference, and where would he like to end up?
Team that immediately comes to mind is the Tennessee Titans, but I was told the two teams on top of Clowney's list as far as where he would like to end up are the Dallas Cowboys and the New Orleans Saints, and he would definitely help both of those teams. I don't know that they want him. I know that Clowney wouldn't mind ending up with either the Cowboys or the Saints from what I'm told.
Yeah, look, I think all three of those teams are a possibility. I would not sleep on the Titans. I've been saying that for more than a month now. And oh, by the way, Landry, I think this is the week. I think this is the week when all hell's going to break loose on the signings front. You know, I thought Cam Newton kind of broke the seal there because camps are going to start July 28th. That's less than a month from now, officially. Today's June 29th. And it's a short month, by the way. But anyway, I think this week, I mean, not to be totally self-serving, but you got to be listening here because we're going to always be getting that news on Sports Radio 610 and on our show. I think Kaepernick is going to sign somewhere. I think Eric Reed is going to sign somewhere. I think, Clowney is going to sign somewhere. I think some of these high profile, like maybe a Brandon Williams, some of these other players that maybe not as big a profile, I should say, are going to sign this week. Because it has to happen this week so they can get ready and get into camp as soon as they can. But I think Clowney, still don't sleep on the Titans.
I think the biggest mistake Clowney, or the thing that has hurt Clowney the most the last couple years, is missing camp. 2 years ago, he was kept out. He was held out on the sidelines, and he didn't really get any work in. And he admitted early on in the season that impacted him. And then last year you had the entire standoff, and the standoff with Jadeveon Clowney and the Texans that led to him arriving to Seattle late. I think Clowney needs to get in a camp this year, be motivated, and go earn his money, because there's still a market out there for Jadeveon Clowney, and I think he's going to go out there and try to earn that contract. But I think it's very pivotal for Clowney. I think it's a good point, John, to talk about this week. I think it's pivotal for Clowney to wind up in a camp somewhere again. Dallas, New Orleans, Tennessee, Cleveland, the teams to keep an eye on in regards to old number 90. Kind of went under the radar yesterday, but
it's going to happen this week.
All right, I got you. I got you down. Mark that, Figgy. The NFL handed down penalties to the Patriots following the investigation for the filming of the Bengals sideline. Last year, this reported by NFL Network, it was a $1.1 million fine, a loss of a third-round draft pick next year, and their team production crews can't film games this upcoming season. Two things about that, John, as we continue to play the hits. Number one, how do they come to terms with $1.1 million as the fine? Like, why can't it just be a $1 million fine? How did this discussion go where they're talking about the punishment? And they say, you know what? $1 million might be a little bit too light. Let's go with $1.1 million. Where do these decimal point fines come from when these punishments are handed down from the NFL? And second, I don't want to say this is a massive deal, but it is kind of crazy that New England Patriots, who have a history of cheating, just happened to lose a third round pick and a millie, and it just goes under the radar because of the Cam Newton signing.
I think as far as the 1.1 million, I don't know, I'm just guessing, but my guess would be it has something to do with the value of a pick. Like, rather than do a third round pick and a sixth round pick or whatever, they're just going to fine them. So I think it has something to do with maybe a one-year value of that. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But I will say that what this is, more than anything, because what they did was not that bad compared to some of the other things that the Patriots have done or been alleged to do. I think this is a repeat offender penalty. I think this is like getting that second DUI. You know, you're going to jail for a while. You know, if you're that stupid to do it again after you got caught. I think this is a repeat offender thing, and they're just by itself, the fines and the penalties should not have been this harsh. But because they've done stuff in the past, they're coming down on them.
Yeah, does this even seem like that harsh of a punishment, though? I mean,
third-round pick, man.
Third, okay.
For that?
Okay.
For videotaping the opposing sideline during a game?
And it's the Bengals sideline, too, by the way. Not sure you really needed
exactly.
To.
And the million one and whatever else they had.
Last week, we were talking about Jamal Adams, the Jets' all-world safety, and his desire to get out of town. I don't know if he's just – this is just a coincidence or if he's just kind of throwing fuel to the fire now when he can. But the Patriots, who are in the Jets' division, when they signed Cam Newton, Jamal Adams said the following, quote, "I salute Coach Belichick for that. That's real. Congratulations, Cam."
I mean, who knows what he's doing? He's former Jets guy now, talking about how good the Patriots are. Who knows where he's going to end up? Boy, that would be something, wouldn't it? Ending up back in New England.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. I don't know if the Pats are in that business, but no. Who knows? Rockets schedule release, training camp beginning this week for the Houston Rockets as we begin the hits. July 31st, they're going to face the Mavs. August 2nd, the Bucks. August 4th, the Blazers. August 6th, the Lakers. August 9th, Kings. Then the Spurs, Pacers, 76ers. Playoffs begin 17 days after the season begins. 8 hours of basketball each day, John. Games are going to start at 11. They're going to go all the way tonight. It's basically going to be like an NCAA tournament. Even when the playoffs begin, you're going to have that. This is going to be awesome for the sports fan who has found themselves, as soon as you put the remote in your hand, trying to find that natural safety blanket of a sporting event. You're going to have that all freaking day when the NBA resumes on July the 31st.
You predicted this, and I'm ready for it. I mean, I think it's going to be absolutely just a feast. And as far as the Rockets' schedule, I mean, nothing really stood out. It looks like it's going to be, you know, a good place for them to get started.
There's also more about this, because Adam Silver says that broadcasts will feature, quote, unique, never-before-seen camera angles. Do we need more camera angles? Of all the things that have been added to, like, sports over the years, there's a lot of awesome stuff. A lot of awesome stuff that's been added. The mic'd up, the rim mic. I even think whenever they put the in-game interview into the mix, I actually enjoy that, as awkward as it can get. These camera angles that they always try, I'm not a fan of these new camera angles. I think you've got I think it's overthought when they keep doing all these camera angles, OG.
I'm with you generally. I want to see what angles are they talking about here, right? I just, like, if it's going to be from the floor, you know, or what, you know, some baseline, I mean, that's fine, but a little goes a long way. It's like when they show these camera angles from the top during a football game on those cables, it's cool for, like, until the play starts. You know, and because then I want to see the all 11, or at least we see where the ball is going. So I don't know where the, you know, what this camera angle is going to be, but it's going to be, I got to see it first.
Did you see who's back in the league?
Back in the NBA?
Did you see who's back in the NBA?
Who?
J.R. Smith is going to the Los Angeles Lakers to be reunited with LeBron James. J.R. Smith will be playing basketball when it resumes in 31 days.
Yeah, I'm here
LeBron
for it.
LeBron forgave him.
You know, LeBron forgave him. I'd love to see that. That just happened today.
I could honestly see J.R. Smith thriving in this wild-ass environment. Honestly, I could see, if you lock J.R. Smith in a bubble and you just have empty arenas, I could see him just going out there hitting like 7 threes a game. It would be so J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith just coming back looking perfect for the Lakers. It's going to be ridiculous.
He's that guy that doesn't need to work out.
No.
Right?
No. Does not.
You don't think so?
No, I think he gets a little softer, but I think he's hot and ready. That's why they called him hot and ready in Cleveland. He's ready to shoot as soon as he comes in the gym, and he's going to be a part of the Lakers. Rockets beginning camp. Astros also beginning spring training this week. Their 56-man roster has been laid out. They got a name on there that stuck out to you, John Lopez. A name you probably would not want to have. A guy who was involved in the Tyler White trade last year. 6'4 reliever coming out of the pen. His name is what?
Andre Scrub.
Who?
The Astros got a scrub. Not a bad player. Could throw pretty hard. Hadn't really gotten his chance yet, but we'll see. I mean, the whole thing with this 56 or 60-man roster, in the Astros' case, 56, is they're going to all say the same thing. Every team so far has indeed said the same thing. Hey, these guys are here to help us win. It's not developmental, et cetera, et cetera. I get it. You don't want to say anything else. But Andre Scrub and those of that same ilk are not here to help you win. It's just emergency players in case, you know, there's some COVID, you know, not suspensions, but COVID absences, or whatever. If they don't do anything that other than that, they're just going to be developmental players.
They've been talking about the rule changes a lot. Bobby Valentine was on the network yesterday, the CBS network. He was on with Damon Amendola and Sean Mraz. And he said that the thing that's going to impact this season the most, even almost as much as the shortened season, is the new rule where relievers have to face three batters. He says that is going to lose games. It's going to keep teams out of the playoffs. He says strategically that's going to be extremely tough for managers when a reliever has to face three batters. I want to see how this is going to look because I don't want to try to get to know the role too well. I have a grasp of it, but this is going to be one of those of the many unique experiences, the unique viewing experiences that we're going to have last year when sports return. That's going to be one of the most interesting ones. We're not the end of the bring in this reliever out of the pen that's right-handed to face the righty and face one guy and then all of a sudden bring out the lefty. Those days are gone, John. Those days are absolutely gone. It's done, and it's going to impact the season very, very, very much, very significantly, and we'll see how Dusty Baker and Astros pitching coach Brent Strom handle that.
I like it, to be honest. And I get Valentine's point. But, I mean, it goes back to the rules the same for everyone. I think it's going to make the games more interesting, you know, because I think players, managers are going to be maybe even a little hesitant to put in one reliever that pitched three innings, you know, two games before or whatever. So I think it's going to be real interesting, especially when you're, like, looking down the lineup card. Well, okay, so he's got to go and face three. So, you know, what's that going to look like? Who's down there? What are his numbers? You know, the statistical aspect of it is going to be interesting, too.
And you no longer have, you know, this pitcher's on the mound, and then you send someone to the on-deck circle, and all of a sudden the manager of the team in the field decides, oh, he's in the on-deck circle, I'm going to go change it up, and it just adds an extra 6 minutes to your viewing. That's no longer going to happen. So it's going to be a sprint in many ways when the Astros return. Spring training begins this week. We'll keep you posted. That's the hits here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Deshaun Watson, he speaks for the first time, and John Lopez says Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans are now officially looking up at the New England Patriots in the AFC pecking order, assuming that Cam Newton is healthy. We will cuss and discuss that next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.